Hello everyone, I'm Louis Vargas, and you're listening to episode 49 of the Art Scene Podcast. Our guests today are Stephanie Garcis and Stephanie Smith, both of whom are co-founders of On Off Site, a creative collective that makes space for connection through digital stories, commissioned internet art projects, and interactive experiences. But before we have them on to talk more about On Off Site, I wanted to plug a few things going on during the COVID-19 shelter in place. Over at Part 2 Gallery, there are three new exhibitions. The first two are solo shows titled We Matter, featuring the work of Adrian Octavius Walker, and Self-Reliance, featuring Lensworth McIntosh. The third exhibition is a group show titled Elements Of, featuring the work of Angela Hennessy and Christopher Martin. They all run through June 5th, and you can either schedule a private viewing to see them or visit part2gallery.com to see their works online. Then over at the YBCA, there's a new exhibition titled Come to Your Senses, Who Counts in America, which has been reimagined into a digital experience due to the COVID-19. The show itself is meant as an art and civic experience designed to mobilize the Bay Area around the long-term impact of the 2020 census. Visit YBCA.org to learn more. All right, now here's my conversation with both Stephanies. Thank you both for coming on. This is going to be my first time that I've been able to do this over the phone with two people. So I'm excited to do it and see how it works out. But I wanted to have you both on because Steph, well, first of all, both of your names are Stephanie. And so I'm going to refer to Steph G and Steph S for Stephanie Garcis and Stephanie Smith. So moving forward, that's what for my listeners, that's what I'm going to do. I actually know Steph G, and so this is the first time I'm actually meeting, at least through the phone, of Steph S. But
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And I'm excited because one of the things I wanted to talk to you, both of you, about is the collective you guys created in this digital platform called On Off Site. And it is, that's how you say it, right? Because I know there's like the site, it's like onoff.site, but I wanted to make sure it's just On Off Site, right?
Yep, On Off Site.
Great.
Yeah, nailed it.
And and so that's what I wanted to talk to you about what you're doing with that platform, especially right now while everybody's in self-quarantine because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the kind of the platform you've provided for artists, at least here in the Bay Area. Art community. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to know a little bit more about the both of you. So let's start with Steph G, and then from there we'll go to Steph S.
Yeah, I'm Stephanie Garces, from the Bay Area originally. I'm from Gilroy, and my background was initially as a dancer. I was a contemporary ballet and modern dancer, and most of my professional training and projects were based in New York and LA. But I also did some projects in other places as well. And I went into the visual arts because I had a career-ending injury and I just kind of didn't know what to do next. And fortunately, I'd gone to community college and dabbled in that while I was dancing and a bit in high school as well. So I had my general ed done and I had a AA degree through community college. So I was kind of situated to transfer. So I just went for that. And I picked art history as a random major because I was trying to decide between the two aspects of dance, where it was the physical aspect, the physical wellness, the nutrition, that sort of thing, and then that more artistic and creative. And that's the one that went out for me. I did my undergrad at USF in art history, arts management. And from there, I interned and worked at various arts organizations in the Bay Area, and I got my master's in contemporary art theory at Goldsmiths, University of London, and then came back, and now I'm at SF MoMA, where I met you, Louis.
What made you want to stay, or at least return to the Bay Area?
Well, the Bay Area is such a special place, and I feel like the more I've left and traveled in my life, the more that becomes abundantly clear. There's nowhere else on the planet like the Bay Area. There's such a beautiful, rich history of creativity and community and activism, and I'm just always called back. So I want to stay here for as long as I can.
And so when you danced, that was like like professionally, right? We're like actually like theater, like dance companies and that kind of thing, right? Like you were doing like professional performances and whatnot.
Yeah, so I was a trainee at the Joffrey Ballet School in New York, and I also trained at the Martha Graham School. And then in LA, I did like random auditions, and I've done random projects kind of throughout. But it was much more the professional track.
Yeah, that is interesting. That I'm surprised you didn't want to do, even if you couldn't, if you didn't want to be an actual dancer, that you didn't get into like the production side of like that art form.
For sure. I think for me, it's a little too close to home. It's like, you know, some people have those heartbreaks that they never get over. And for me, it's dance. I'm like, okay, now I've found other things I love. I get really excited about, but like, just the feeling of like just making something out of nothing. It's like, and that's kind of why I do what I do now and why we, you know, I'm so excited to be involved with On Off Site, because I remember what it's like to create something. Mm-hmm. And I want to do whatever I can to support other artists doing that.
Yeah. Steph S., where are you from?
Hey, I am from Sacramento originally, and I came to the Bay Area for college, actually. I went to UC Berkeley, and I studied art practice there and also psychology. I've always been interested in the visual arts. I never really thought about working in it full time. Mm-hmm. Definitely museums were never kind of on my radar as a space that I would work in or have the opportunity to work in.
Yeah.
You know, I come from a family of more traditional professional jobs, so they were always supportive of my interest in the arts, but it was never like, here's everything that you can do. And my parents just like didn't even know, you know, the different possibilities.
Yeah. Where did the psychology come in?
Yeah, I mean, the psychology came in because my mom is a psychologist.
Uh-huh.
And I've always been interested in the way people think and the ability to connect with others on a deeply personal and individual level. And even though I work in the arts, technically, I still use my psychology all the time when I'm interviewing people and just like in my day-to-day life as well. You know, I wasn't really sure when I graduated if I would go for an MFA or explore art therapy in a graduate level. I just kind of fell into working in the Bay Area art scene and have never left, actually. I've just been able to meet so many incredible artists and have opportunities to work at different institutions, from an art school to a gallery to a couple of museums. So I'm just been kind of writing my career and what comes with me and the connections that I'm making. So it's not like I had a direct kind of path into working in the arts, but just kind of was open to what came to me. When I was in the art practice program at Berkeley, one of my professors, who was pretty much a mentor for me, Daniel Nevers, suggested if I'm interested in working the arts or even being a professional artist in the Bay Area to think about interning at an art gallery. So I took that step and then eventually worked there as well. And it was a really good opportunity to connect with local artists and also just understand the reality of being a working artist, you know, the things that you don't learn in school. And then also just on the professional level, really being able to see how the fast-paced Bay Area art world works. I started working in communications in that position, and I continue to work in the art there. I really fell in love with just being able to help spread artists' stories to the public, you know, just give more visibility. And that's changed over the years, you know, the types of storytelling that I do, but the same like art and passion that I had when I was 21, I still have that today.
So you mentioned you work in the communications aspect of the art community. Is there like a specific place you work at, or is it like, do you do a freelance or?
Yeah, I do kind of a combination of both. I currently work at California College of the Arts as their director of content and creative strategy. And previously I was at the Berkeley Art Museum until January. So I have worked in content marketing and kind of digital engagement for most of my career in the Bay Area. And then for the freelance work, I mostly focus on video production projects with, you know, kind of local art institutions who maybe don't have a content producer staff.
Steph G, how about you? Where do you currently work at?
So I work at SF MoMA, and I'm the Education and Community Engagement Coordinator there. So I'm working with a division of amazing people doing really incredible programs, and I kind of work in like the hub that kind of helps us work together as a division and also kind of across the organization as well at some level.
Yeah, it's interesting that you both kind of work in some like outreach communications type jobs. It works out perfectly that you both end up working together. So how did you two end up meeting?
Well, at the gallery that Steph S. had mentioned before, she was working there and I was the new intern, and I had a really kind of circuitous route to the arts. So I was like the oldest intern ever. Not true. I was definitely in my mid-20s and I was just like, let's do this. And we just hit it off really well. Steph S. is a really amazing person. She's really talented, and I'm really thrilled that she's my friend and we got to do this project together.
That's great.
Yeah, we definitely have a really strong friendship underlying all the work that we do together. Like, it's the kind of friendship where I don't really know what made us click at the beginning, other than like we both really like each other and our personalities complement each other, but I can't think back to like a specific time where I was like, I know I'm going to be really good friends with her for a long time. But I think that just like points to like how complementary we are to one another.
Yeah. What kind of like working at this gallery, what are the type of experiences where both of you were kind of like clicking and kind of seeing that you guys could work together one day on something that was like your own?
I think it was like when you work at a gallery or kind of anywhere in the arts, especially if it's on the smaller side, you just do everything. So I think it's always cool to see somebody who's just willing to jump in and do everything and anything and just take charge, but also collaborative.
Yeah, well said.
So then when you both moved on from that gallery and you both went on to like all, you know, through your journey to get to the current jobs that you're at right now, what made you both reconnect and wanting to create a platform or a collective with On Offsite?
Yeah, so we've remained in touch. Definitely over the years, even when Steph was abroad doing her master's, we still kind of kept in touch over social media or email. When she came back into the Bay, we both were happy to see each other again in person. And when we started museum jobs around the same time, Stephanie at SF MoMA and me at the Berkeley Art Museum, we started meeting up kind of after work, just catching up over drinks and seeing how our respective experiences have been so far at the time new jobs. So, you know, over many drinks and kind of hangout sessions, we were bonding over the fact that we didn't feel much creative ownership in our positions, and we're just kind of spitballing ideas about ways that we could connect closer to the arts community and also, you know, tell stories or communicate to the world in a different way that's not quite possible at an institution.
Yeah, I totally agree. Working at one myself with Stephanie, Steph G, you know, you get sometimes in the routine of like going in 9 to 5, do your job, that at one point, I think the creative aspect that even brought you to this art world kind of gets forgotten. And so like you have to keep doing things to kind of like remember like, oh yeah, I had control, like creative control of things at one point. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, it's nice having like side projects and side hustles or just like something in addition of that you're just as passionate about, if you are also passionate about your job, that just you can exercise that part of your brain more again.
Yeah, totally. And sometimes with the bureaucracy and larger institutions, there's just not a lot of flexibility in terms of how stories are communicated or even how we can interface with artists. Like in my experience, it was only through the curators. I was told exactly what spaces I could film in or how I had to write something for the website. I had to follow a specific style guide and hit institutional messaging points 1 through 5. And all of that is so important, but we were really just interested in having some more creativity and the ability to connect with people and just kind of shake up the ways that artist stories are could be told or have been told.
Yeah, and also to that point too, it's like the arts ecosystem is not just about the big institutions. Big institutions are super important and valuable, but it's also about all of these other projects and artist-run spaces, and like that's what makes something really rich and interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
totally.
So how was this idea conceived to come up with On Off Offsite?
There was definitely some rosé. No, we were definitely, we met for drinks, as Steph S was saying, and there, we just were talking about it, and we were bonding over it, and we just were like, we got to do something. We just had all this energy, let's just do it. So just like writing it on a napkin, different ideas, and things we had talked to our friends and other artists about, like what people wanted and needed. And one of the big ones is money and space, and we're like, well, if we could do something with that, that would be incredible, but we that was not super possible for us at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll play the lotto and that will change. but so we were thinking about, Steph has a lot of incredible skills in the digital world. Mm-hmm. And so we were thinking about digital space and what would it be to hold digital space and connect through that?
Yeah, absolutely. And from the beginning, our intention is always to be flexible and to leave the door open whenever one can for kind of on-site interactions as well, like whether it's a pop-up gallery or at a laundromat or that kind of thing. So our intention is to also move fluidly between digital and physical space. And we already kind of do that a little because we normally are on-site with artists at their studios and then translating it through digital media and a digital experience on our website. But we're definitely interested in playing with that slippage a little bit more moving forward. And that was always part of the original vision for the project.
So it's like not just digital, it's also physical at one point. At least you hope so. That's the goal, that you can do both. Yeah. I noticed on the website, you know, you mentioned providing a digital space. You know, a lot of times you're highlighting a lot of these artists that you do studio visits with. I saw you guys provide resources for them and just like a lot of links for other members to just kind of use as a reference. So I'm curious, what is the main goal that you wanted to achieve with this group?
Well, I think the big goals are connection and connecting with artists, collaborating with artists, and showing artists in the way they want to be seen. And that's kind of the primary goals. But as Steph S was saying, we need to be adaptable. So we added resources in light of the current pandemic, because we care so much about our artists and our cultural and artistic community here. People are trying to survive, just trying to live, and resources are extremely limited. And so we just wanted to do whatever we can to help compile and share things out. Mm-hmm. In addition to kind of our new pivot with our call for art as well. We wanted to highlight artists who are making work and then also encourage direct artist donations via Venmo.
I noticed also you guys, it's called Collective, but I'm curious. So aside from you two, are there any other people involved as well that work alongside you?
Well, we call ourselves the Collective because we do feel like every artist that we work with is an active part of shaping the piece that we ultimately create, whether it's a video or kind of a multimedia story on our website.
Yeah.
So we think about all the artists as members and active participants as we're working on this project together. Yeah. And that's been a really important part of this project for both of us, for sure, making sure that, as Steph G mentioned, that the artist's story is told in a way that best reflects their voice and their work, and they're shown how they want to be seen in the most authentic way that we can. But then there are other kind of collective members on the side. The graphic identity was designed by my good friend Brent Nunez. And then on the video end, Miguel Novello, my partner, is an active collaborator with us on the back end as well.
Yeah, that's really cool because like you're kind of everybody that you kind of end up working with becomes part of this like family that you're kind of mm-hmm. you're creating this community.
Totally.
And it's cool, and it's in a way that's not in a sense of
ownership or anything like that? Like some galleries like have like they represent people and it's kind of like more of a business relationship. You know, sometimes friendships come out of it, but in this case, you know, you're not really like the sole representative of these artists, but these are people that you consider part of this like collective in this family where they're welcome to come back no matter what, or you know, they're welcome to work again with you no matter what.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to put it, and kind of actually ties into some of the ways we're thinking of pivoting during COVID-19 too, when it's not possible to go on site to an artist's studio. So how can we continue to work with artists and share how they're creating during this interesting time that we're all navigating? So one way that we are thinking about doing that is having some IGTV video interviews via Zoom with artists that we've worked with in the past already. So that is one thing that we're working on.
And then also, once we've like worked with an artist or connected with an artist, we're gonna try to show up at your shows. Like we're here. We're like a part of your support network. We really care and we get really excited.
Mm-hmm. And spread the word.
Yeah.
On our social channel or how else we can support your practice. Yeah. It's not just a one-time kind of interaction with us.
We're in it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Speaking of COVID-19, I saw that you are, because I noticed on the website you have like a call for artists. You have dedicated your Instagram space to basically highlight a lot of different artists and the work that they're doing during this time. Talk to me a little bit about that, because it sounds like that's a way of that you're both adapting to the shutdown and you know, a lot of art spaces are closed. So it sounds like that's what you're providing. You're still providing a digital space. Tell me all about that.
Absolutely. So we kind of came to that decision pretty quickly. We were, you know, we were both sheltering in place and we're just like, oh my gosh, we need to do something. And so we kind of came up with this idea of creating little mini artist portals in our Instagram and putting out an open call for art for all Bay Area artists, where we could feature them and then share a little bit about their practice and then also encourage people to give direct to artist donations via Venmo. So we're working on building that up so we can send it out and share it out more broadly, because I know it's a little bit tricky to be asking for donations within like a niche artist community. So we're definitely looking to keep on building its momentum and share it more broadly. But that was just one way where we could hold space for the incredible artists in our community and also try to help out any way we could in this financially trying time.
Mm-hmm. And we're also working with our network of curators and friends to help us select the artwork that is featured on our feed. So we are thinking kind of holistically about our arts community and trying to find ways that we can use the space that we have and that we've cultivated, but use it to help people during this time of need as best we can.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like you're using it. I mean, it's like you're using it as a digital event space, right? Where like you're not necessarily dictating what events get booked at this event space. You take any bookers, right? Anybody who wants to book a space there, but you're providing it for them. And your space right now is your Instagram, your website. So it's really cool. So then you're so then curators can just come up to you and say, I want to curate something, and you have the space to provide it for them, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, right now we've been just reaching out to select curators and having them pick the featured artists every 2 weeks. But certainly we can think about doing, I like that idea of kind of an open call for curators as well.
That's a great idea.
Depends how long this shelter in place ends up lasting, but I think that's a really beautiful idea. I like that a lot.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask about the both of you is, you've mentioned you have these goals you have set for on off site, and obviously like you're not like you don't it sounds like you don't feel like you're fully there yet, but you're working to get to what you want it to be. You know, both of you have day jobs. Is this more of a side hustle, or is this something that is equally for the both of you running parallel to what you're doing career wise or work wise every day? Or is this something eventually you hope to do full time?
Well, I think doing it full time would be a dream. We're still working on the fundraising piece of that. Mm-hmm. But I definitely see, like, this is, we say it's our side hustle, but this is definitely more than a side hustle. This is our collaborative creative practice. And like, I definitely see this going in tandem with just kind of what we're doing in our careers in different ways as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like the word passion project, but I feel like that is kind of what it is. It's a space for us to truly kind of share with the world a vision that we have for working with artists and cultivating community in the Bay Area. So for me, it does run tangential to the practice that I have in my day job too. I work in a similar kind of role. At CCA, work with students and faculty members to tell their stories in digital spaces too. But the thing that I really value about On Offsite is just the ability to experiment and be weird and creative and like break the interview mold sometimes by having Stephanie G in the frame or having either one of our voices come through occasionally or playing with framing in pops of color in the video itself. We don't necessarily use a true institutional style. We vary the colors and sometimes the font according to the artists that we're working with. And as we all know, it's not really possible to do that in the same way in an institution where, of course, branding is a really integral part of the identity of the space. And it is for us too, but we have a more playful and open approach to video content and working with artists directly. Mm-hmm. I would love to do this full time, but I'm also really committed to trying to work in the Bay Area arts ecosystem in as many ways as I can. Mm-hmm. And just help artists, you know, get their word out and their story out to the community.
Yeah. At this point, have you guys, what would you say influences which side more? Like, has your experience with On Offsite added more to like the type of work you do at your day job, or have you used, is it more the skills from your day job have helped influence the kind of experimentation you can do with On Offsite?
That's a great question. I think there's a bit of interplay, but for me, my day job is very different from what I do at On Offsite. So in some ways, because I work in kind of more an administrative capacity during my day job, I don't get to be as creative or like connecting with artists. And that's what I get at On Offsite. And I definitely use my project management skills and like all those other things that I use in my day job, and I can transfer them to a creative space. And I also really enjoy working collaboratively with Stephanie Smith, because in my day job, I'm in a small department of three, basically, and it's not super collaborative. And I'm always hungry for something that's more programmatic and collaborative. So this kind of gives me a nice balance.
Yeah, and I have a little bit more interplay between the two worlds, my side hustle and my day job, because I do similar work in both spaces. I will say, just the other day, I was meeting with a student to talk about a video for CCA, and we were thinking about ways we might be able to push it. So I did bring up an On Offsite video, and that bird kind of a direction that we will go in that won't look exactly the same, but it got him thinking a little bit outside of the box in terms of what a film or an artist video could look like. So I do kind of use it fluidly. Or, you know, another great part about starting your own project is adding that to your resume and having that kind of be a talking point if you're interviewing somewhere. So I do have it on there too, and it has brought up some really interesting conversations in an interview. Like most recently, somebody as I was leaving was like, I hope you get this job, but if not, like, I want to just tell you I can't wait to see the next On Offsite feature. Like, it looks amazing, and I was watching Sherwin Rios for about 20 minutes trying to figure out like what exactly you were doing in the frame there, and keep doing your work. And that's just kind of one of those moments that will stick with me about how we can really think of our side hustles and our day jobs coming together and being open and sort of talking about the relationship between the two, which I think you do so well when you interview people on this podcast too.
I think it's made me a better listener at work, I think, that I don't think I have noticed until I started doing this more. So, all right. So, one of the last things I wanted to ask you both is, what is coming up that we can look forward to on Offsite in the next few weeks?
Yeah. So, keep your eyes peeled for more artist features and our holding space on our Instagram. And then we also have some exciting IGTV stuff coming up, and maybe Steph Smith can talk a little bit more to that.
Yeah. So, right now, the next feature that will be coming out is with Brett Amory, who's an Oakland-based painter. So we're working on an IGTV feature with him and a website interview too. And as I previously mentioned in the interview, we'll be revisiting with some of the past artists that we've worked with also on IGTV and doing kind of informal check-ins with them during COVID and figuring out how they're staying creative or not during this time. Because I think there's so many ways that this experience can be affecting you psychologically, emotionally, economically. So we do really want to recognize that not everybody is processing this time in the same way. You know, maybe you are making masterpieces and maybe you don't feel like doing anything. So we're just hoping to have some candid conversations with artists that we've worked with before and just kind of chronicle how people are processing this time.
For sure. That's another really big part of the project, is documenting our local arts community at this moment in time. And I feel like this is a really insane moment in time.
Yeah. No, I love that you're doing that too. I've been trying as much as I can to have that, throw in a conversation of like, how are you handling this time? Because I think sometimes having an outlet or somewhere or platform to say that, I think helps, like therapeutically even for themselves, you know, to just say it out loud to somebody. Like you two, like what about you two? Like how are you, have you been able to, has it been able to help you get through this by having something of a goal or something like of a project to put your mind to, like what you're doing with on Offsite?
I think that we might be kind of similar in this, where we just like to be busy a lot. So this has been a really good way to direct energy. We also just finished a presentation at Common Field Convening. So I think that has been recorded and will be shared on their website. So it's like, I think we've just been really busy and just jumping into it. And I think for me, I probably need to take a few days and just kind of let myself process things a little bit, because I just haven't given myself that space yet. But I think that's my coping mechanism to keep pretty busy.
Yeah, we definitely agree with that. We're on the same page about that. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely really helped to have On Offsite as a space for us to continue to do the work that brought us to the platform in general, but also thinking about ways to kind of adapt and shift as things are changing and as our community might need support in new ways during this time. So it definitely has helped keep me busy, keep me motivated, keep me inspired. All the things that, you know, I'm struggling against with the daily malaise of, you know, each passing day in shelter in place and not really knowing when one day begins or another day ends. So it's just really helpful to have these kind of goals, or whether that's the Common Field presentation or being able to connect with you on this podcast, and also doing work on Offsite social media feed and our website too.
So you both mentioned the Common Field presentation. What is Common Field?
So Common Field is a nationwide organization for independent art organizations and arts workers. So they're really incredible because they provide a lot of resources, and basically you can connect to this big network of people doing similar projects. And every year they do a big convening, which is a big conference where they have different panels and discussions and conversations. And this year it was supposed to be in Houston, but in light of the pandemic, we were blessed to be able to stay in the conference, and they pulled off a Zoom pivot that was really incredibly done. So I feel very grateful and supported by them.
And yeah, so it's really incredible. There were so many amazing panelists and conversations happening, and it was all recorded and shared online. There are definitely a few that I wasn't able to register for because it filled up quickly, because it was all online and free this time. So definitely I would recommend checking out their website and looking for those videos coming up.
Yeah, there's a few more days of programming, I think.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, we were presenting about side hustling, actually. So related topic. And we were really thinking about what it means to survive creatively and comfortably on different levels of an arts ecosystem. So it really relates to the things that we were talking about here. We were chatting with two other people, Claire Frost and Francis Dorenbaum, who started a nomadic gallery called Collabo. So it was the two of us talking about our respective side projects, you know, very different. One, a digital website on offsite, and the other one was an apartment gallery and now is a nomadic curatorial project. So we were kind of outlining our approaches, what a side hustle has brought for us. And then we tried to make it as participatory as possible, and had different sections with a workshop activity. We had a lot of really great participation throughout the whole thing. But we were really trying to inspire people in the workshop to think about how they might want to start their own side project, or if they have one, how they can continue it with kind of self-care and longevity in mind. Because it takes a lot of work to do these side projects, you know.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah, for sure.
We're all really passionate about what they can bring into our lives. But also, I think it's so important just to be real that, yeah, it does take a big toll on you to do something in addition to your day job.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think when I first started this, I thought, you know, like, oh, this would be quick and easy and something I can do on the side. And I think, you know, I mean, for me, at least, it was like 4 or 5 episodes in. I think once I got the habit of it, that I really had to say, like, how passionate am I about this podcast, like doing this podcast? And then you find yourself having to, like, convince yourself, like, no, it's worth the work. I just have to be better at, like, managing the time to make it happen.
Yep. So real.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, thank you both for coming on. I know I've been talking to Steph G for a while about when she first was telling me that you both were going to do something like this, about wanting to get you both on here whenever it was up and running. So I'm glad I was able to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, and hopefully next time it'll be to plug something else, and if we could do it in person.
Yeah, I would love that.
Can't wait for in-person meetings again.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us. We're big fans of the pod, so thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And thank you so much for doing what you can too during this time to, you know, document and support what people are doing. It's really appreciated and felt.
Oh, for sure. I think the one thing, one of the many things that you said that I agreed with was, I think you earlier mentioned how your goal a lot of times is to promote what the other, you know, what the other members of the art community are doing, and being there as like a, you know, as like a, not more of a, not a cheerleader necessarily, but like as a supporter, as a family member, or as a friend, you know, like, and really like boasting what all the great things that they're doing. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do too, you know, and you both are a perfect example of people who I want to like spread the word, like, hey, this exists, go check it out.
We appreciate that. Likewise. We appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, thank you, and I'll hopefully see you in person soon.
Thank you, and yeah, we can collaborate in the future.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to both Stephanie Garcés and Stephanie Smith for coming onto the podcast. To learn more about On Offsite and their current project, Holding Space, visit www.on-off.site. Also, be sure to visit the podcast website to check out pictures of our guests, and also you can play past episodes if you want to go back and listen to our archive. And lastly, be sure to follow the podcast website at ArtScenePC. All right, till next time, everyone.